This is the Archaeology News Weekly and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. A 3,000-year-old hoard is found in England. But religious vandals destroy ancient Arctic petroglyphs in Canada. The 6,000-year-old kiln is transferred to a safe haven in Iran, while over 70 new ancient settlements are discovered in central Turkey. While it seems that Neolithic men in Greece had their own sheds, Tony Blair is urged to act over Stonehenge road scheme, and the Scythian mummy we reported on last week is on show in Germany. A Bronze Age canoe is found on the route of a pipeline in Wales, and at Woodhenge there is news of a discovery of fragments of bluestone. Persian waterworks are found in the Levant, and the Santorini eruption seems to have been much larger than was originally thought. Time Watch urges the UK government to protect Thornborough Henges, and there's evidence of a prehistoric site found in Virginia in the USA. And finally, was the Hobbit a pygmy or a new species? The controversy continues. Three amber beads, two bronze rings, a bugle-shaped fitting and the fragment of a spearhead were found 6 inches below the ground in a field near Sedgefield in County Durham in England. They're thought to be part of an ancient burial ceremony. Robert Collins, from the Museum of Antiquities in Newcastle, said the items thought to date from between 1000 to 800 BCE also suggest there were fixed settlements in the area. Apart from this find, they've also found items from the Neolithic period, which were 4000 to 2000 BCE, in the area. The hoard was discovered in August last year by Susan Lister and Philip Townsend, two members of Quaker Acres, a metal detector group that was searching the area. The discovery has just come to light because the courts must now decide whether the item should be legally classified as treasure. The items are being stored in the British Museum in London just now. However, the Bowes Museum in County Durham is thought to be interested in buying them if the courts decide the items are treasure, and they could then be returned to the region. Alison Hodgson of the Sedgefield Local History Group said that it was great that people were taking a greater interest in local heritage. When people are engaged in something, they're very much less likely to be involved in destroying it. So, a huge thanks to Quaker's Acre detectorists. Canada's only major Arctic petroglyph site, a 1,500-year-old gallery of mysterious faces carved into a soapstone ridge on the tiny island off Quebec's northern coast, has been ransacked by vandals in what the region's top archaeologists suspect was a religiously motivated attack by Christians from a nearby Inuit community. For years, heritage advocates have sought special protection for the ancient etchings at Kwajartaliq Island. Experts believe they were created by the extinct Dorset culture, an artistically advanced group that occupied much of the eastern Arctic before they were killed or driven away by the Thule ancestors of the modern Inuit. More than 170 mask-like images, animal shapes and other symbols have been recorded on the island since the 1960s. Studies suggest Kwajartaliq was a sacred place used by Dorset spiritual ceremonies and coming-of-age rituals. The site has been dubbed the Island of the Stone Devils because of some of the faces, possibly depicting a Dorset shaman in religious costume, appear to be adorned with horns. In the past, crosses have been scratched on these so-called pagan petroglyphs, and some of the area's residents have told researchers they believed that the site was infested by evil spirits. Long-running negotiations between Nunavut, Quebec and the federal government over the ownership of the Hudson Strait Islands has delayed for a decade plans to protect the cultural treasure, which Arctic scholars have touted as a natural candidate to become a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Now, dreams of global renown for Kwajartaliq may have been dashed after a visit to the island last month by Quebec cultural officials revealed extensive damage to the prehistoric drawings, including deep gouges across many of the faces. Tourist looting and natural erosion of the site's soft soapstone first prompted preservation proposals in the 1990s, but this time someone has taken some parts of the rock away and there is extensive graffiti, and some seems to have been carving on the faces with an axe or similar sharp implement, and damaged and scored grooves across all of the faces. The latest vandalism at Cuadrar Talloc follows a pattern of previous attacks by members of a very strong movement of the conservative Christians in the Inuit communities in northern Quebec. We may now have lost an irreplaceable piece of our heritage due to federal inaction. As we reported previously, you'll be glad to know that one of the 5-6,000-year-old kilns discovered at an ancient site in the Balaji Valley in Fars Province, Iran, has been safely transferred to the Parsegarde Research Centre, 14 kilometres away. The kilns were discovered by a German-Iranian team at a prehistoric settlement from the Bakun period, which is the late 5th to early 4th millennium BCE. The team and several other groups are working on the archaeological rescue excavations of the Balaji Valley, a project that has been implemented to study 130 archaeological sites before the reservoir of the Sivan Dam is filled and floods a large section of the valley, which is scheduled to take place in the very near future, but which has been repeatedly delayed. 2 months of effort were required to successfully remove one of these kilns. The first kiln, which has had a height of over 2 metres, was removed from the ground and carefully transferred by a winch after having first been buttressed and packed with wood and foam. One down, 5 to go, so good luck to the rest of you. Archaeologists working at the ancient settlement of Tavium, located in Yozgat province in central Turkey, have discovered more than 70 previously unknown ancient settlements. The central province, best known for the Chalcolithic period discoveries at the El-Alisar tumulus and the Hittite era artifacts at Kirkenes, is likely to hold much more archaeological wealth than previously believed. An archaeologist said that the new findings would shed more light on this region's history. Austrian archaeologist Professor Karl Strobel, who is currently heading surveys and excavations at the ancient city of Tavium, was quoted as saying that he and his assistant had identified the previously unknown settlements in a very large area in Yozgat. Strobel, who has been studying the area since 1997, told reporters that the newly found settlements belong to various periods of history, including Roman, Bronze Age, Byzantine, Hittite, Early Bronze, Chalcolithic, Early Chalcolithic, Early and Mid Iron Age, Hellenistic, and even Ottoman periods. Strobel said that they had submitted a report of their discoveries to officials and were waiting for the sites to be registered as archaeological conservation areas. The discovery of a Neolithic complex of caves in Greece dating from 5300 to 3900 BCE, with features such as plaster floors and evidence of cereal production and an attached stable nearby, has shed a new light into the early Neolithic of the area. The excavation of the Kovaliki caves, located in the cliffs of a shallow valley in the southern Peloponnese, showed the year-round occupation of farmers and herders. The complex consists of two caves, the first of which is divided into two chambers by several rock blocks that appear to have fallen from the roof before the caves were inhabited. The inhabitants used these natural divides to their advantage, since one of the fallen rocks was then straightened to create a wall, which produced a corridor between the two chambers. Burnt manure found in the front chamber suggests a few animals, probably sheep and goats, were also housed there. Cereal husks and residue found with the dung indicates that the cave dwellers probably farmed the land in front of the caves. Farming in Greece started around 6,500 BCE, at the beginning of the Neolithic era. Painted pottery, polished axes, spindle whorls, clay and marble figurines, grinders and a collection of obsidian, chert and quartz tools were found in the first cave. The dark back room, measuring about 150 square metres, appears to have been the main area of habitation. Evidence for hearth fires were found on the floor, and the floor itself was of plastered mud and burnt dung. The second cave was probably used as a complementary activity area, which is the prehistoric version of a tool shed. 9 burials were also discovered within the cave complex. British Prime Minister Tony Blair should intervene in the disgrace of the Stonehenge Road saga, so say the RAC Foundation. The foundation favours putting the A303 at the Wiltshire site into a deep bore tunnel, a £510 million option, which is being re-examined by the government on cost grounds. The foundation said it has written to Mr Blair asking for him to cut through departmental inertia and get some action going. A 1.3-mile tunnel was recommended after a public inquiry, but was then put on hold by the Department for Transport because of the rising cost of the scheme. The foundation said a tunnel had a substantial support across the archaeological spectrum, including English Heritage, the UK Committee of UNESCO, the Society of Antiquaries of London, the All-Party Parliamentary Group on Archaeology, and archaeologists specifically concerned with Stonehenge. The tunnel option is also backed by the local councils, local MPs, tourist bodies and the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds. An international group of archaeologists has shown photos of a well-preserved 2,500-year-old mummy of a Scythian warrior found in Mongolia. The president of the German Archaeological Institute, Hermann Parsinger, hailed the fabulous find at a press conference to present the 28 members Team Discovery in Berlin. As we have already mentioned in the news last week, this was from an intact burial mound in the Altai Mountains this summer. Parsinger said the tomb was practically untouched when the team discovered it. Until now, remains of the Scythians, who were an Iranian nomadic people, had only been found on the Russian side of the Altai. The mummy was found in the snow-capped mountains by the team of scientists from Germany, Russia and Mongolia. Parsinger said the ice had helped to preserve the mummy and noted that global warming posed a threat to such archaeological finds, and said that if the trend continues, within 20 to 30 years there would be no more ice kurgans. Researchers said that the most striking feature about the man was his light blonde hair, though it was acknowledged that it may have yellowed after his death. The man, who was apparently very well off, was cloaked in a beaver skin coat with a sable trim and a sheep's wool lining that was in remarkably good condition. The still intact skin on his upper body revealed extensive tattoos. Two horses with elaborately decorated saddles and bridles, weapons and wooden, clay and animal horn vessels were placed in the tomb alongside the corpse to accompany the warrior into the next life. The recovered items are currently in storage in Ulaanbaatar. Archaeologists working on a gas pipeline near Milford Haven in Pembrokeshire in Wales have unearthed what they believe to be a 3,500-year-old canoe. Work was stopped on a small section of the pipeline near St Botolph's to allow the Bronze Age oak relic to be recovered, though of course work is continuing on the rest of the pipeline. It was found 6 weeks ago, less than a metre below the surface in a marshy area of land, but archaeologists have only just had it confirmed exactly what the find was. A fragment was sent to experts in Miami, who radioed the carbon dated it to 1420 BCE. The canoe is carved from a single trunk of oak and measures 4.5 metres by 0.9 metres in size. It has been kept continuously wet to prevent it from deteriorating. The wet conditions have provided beautiful preservation conditions for the wood. If the gas pipeline had not been coming through here, we would not have this. It will take another 2 weeks before the team is ready to move the canoe, which will be handed over to the National Museum of Wales. Contractors have been moved to work on other parts of the route, which will run the breadth of Wales. After last week's report of the Carpile logboat, it does seem we're actually inundated with Bronze Age boats just now. A member of an archaeological team working under the direction of Josh Pollard has made an exciting and significant find at the most recent excavations at Woodhenge in Wiltshire, England. The discovery was of a large piece of bluestone from the Pretheli mountain range in South Wales. On first examination, the piece certainly appeared to be a chunk of the spotted dolerite, though this will have to be confirmed by further study. It was roughly 3 inches long and 1 inch across. At one end of the bluestone fragment, there was clear signs that it had been worked or struck from a larger piece, while it was found in the vicinity of two large stone holes discovered in the previous excavations of the 1920s. It's likely that stones of some considerable size once stood in these pits. We also know that quantities of burned sarsen fragments were discovered in the upper parts of these filled-in holes, but the discovery was the first time that the famous bluestone has been found at Woodhenge. Another archaeological team is excavating an area close to the western end of the Great Cursus, and the primary goal of this undertaking is to discover evidence of another bluestone monument that may have also stood here. There's no question that bluestone was highly prized as a building material for these monuments. Curiously enough, another bluestone fragment was discovered on the same day on a different excavation in the Stonehenge landscape, at around the same time that the Woodhenge discovery was made. The latest piece was found at the western edge of the Cursus, where the team were actually searching for evidence of this lost bluestone monument. Archaeologists in the Levant have unearthed an ancient water system which was modified by the conquering Persians to turn the desert into a paradise. The network of reservoirs, drainpipes and underground tunnels served one of the grandest palaces in the biblical kingdom of Judea. Archaeologists first discovered the palace in 1954, which covers 2.4 hectares in size. Recent excavations unearthed nearly 70 square metres of a unique water system. A Tel Aviv University archaeologist said that they had found a huge palace dating from the late Iron Age to the end of the biblical period. The infrastructure for the palace was remodeled throughout the centuries to fit the needs of the Babylonians, Persians, Romans and Hasmoneans, who all ruled in the Holy Land. But it was the Persians who took control of the region around 539 BCE from the Babylonians, who renovated the water system and turned it into a thing of beauty. They even added small waterfalls to try and turn a desert into a paradise. This was important to someone who finds aesthetics very important indeed, for someone who wanted to feel as though they were not just in a remote corner of the desert, but paradise. It was unclear exactly how the water system worked, but rainwater was probably taken from the palace roof, collected by drains into pools or underground reservoirs, and then taken to nearby fields for crops or into the paradise gardens. An international team of scientists has found that the second largest volcanic eruption in human history, the massive Bronze Age eruption of Thera in Greece, was much larger and more widespread than has previously been believed. Scientists from the University of Rhode Island and the Hellenic Center for Marine Research found deposits of volcanic pumice and ash 10 to 80 meters thick, extending out 20 to 30 kilometers in all directions from the Greek island of Santorini. In 1991, it had been estimated that 39 cubic kilometres of magma and rock had erupted from the volcano around 1600 BCE, based on the fallout they observed on land. The new evidence of the marine deposits resulted in an upward adjustment in their estimate to about 60 cubic kilometres. An eruption of this size likely had far-reaching impacts on the environment and civilizations in the region. The much smaller Krakatoa eruption of 1883 in Indonesia created a 100-foot-high tsunami that killed 36,000 people. The Thera eruption would likely have generated an even larger tsunami and pyroclastic flows that travel much further over the surface of the sea. Given what they know about Krakatoa, the effects of the Thera eruption would have been incredibly dramatic. Thera has erupted numerous times over the last 400,000 years, four of which were of such magnitude that the island itself collapsed. Some scientists believe that the massive eruption 3,600 years ago was responsible for the disappearance of the Minoan culture on nearby Crete. The study was part of a longer research led by the National Geographic Explorer-in-Residence Robert Ballard, a URI oceanography professor and president of the Institute of Exploration, which included a search for Bronze Age shipwrecks in the Black Sea and a survey of the seafloor in the Sea of Crete. Additional details can be found on their websites, so check out the stone pages for the full web addresses. Time Watch Campaign Group have appealed to the UK government to ensure the protection of the Thornborough Henge complex. Quarry company Tarmac Northern, part of global aggregates concern Anglo American, has appealed to the UK government after their latest application to quarry the landscape near the Thornborough Henges was rejected by North Yorkshire County Council. As a result of Tarmac Northern's appeal to the Secretary of State, the Planning Inspectorate is holding an inquiry into the matter. Any comment can make a big difference to help save the Henges setting, and it is possible to submit them up to the 6th of September on their website as Time Watch campaign leader George Chaplin says, the evidence provided by the council officers failed to adequately consider the true extent of the settings of the monuments on Ladybridge and also the wider settings of the super monuments on the Thornborough Moor. Now it is time to impress on the planning system the importance of recognising this aspect for such a large and important site, one that comprises a great variety of monuments scattered over several square miles. So come on, get these comments in. An archaeologist has uncovered clues about prehistoric ancestors of Indians, including evidence that was likely their campsite near the future home of a planned school at Williamsburg in Virginia, USA. The prehistoric hunters and gatherers left behind thousands of flakes of hard quartzite rock, remnants of the production of axes and hatchets. One pointed stone tip dates back to around 3000 BCE. The artifacts will then be displayed at the new Matakoa Elementary School to commemorate the site's history. Pottery fragments, stone flakes and tools left by settlers, Virginia Indians and their ancestors are not unusual finds in the James City County. The county requires an archaeological study with every land development. Archaeologist Carol Tyre is still analysing the results of the archaeological study with researchers and historians, and they have not yet concluded whether the area could be eligible for the National Register of Historic Places. And finally, the discovery of the 18,000-year-old Homo floresiensis on the Indonesian island of Flores was thought to be a major development in tracing human evolution when it was announced back in 2004. However, a new analysis of the 3-foot skeleton, nicknamed the Hobbit, along with other remains found at the site, has indicated they probably belonged to an early human suffering from microcephaly. The skeletal remains do not represent a new species, but some of the ancestors of modern human pygmies who live on the island today. The individual exhibits a combination of characteristics that are not primitive, but instead regional and not unique, but found in other modern human populations. The team of researchers from the US, Indonesia and Australia conclude that the so-called Hobbit isn't a separate species, but just an unfortunate pygmy with a form of microcephaly, a developmental disorder that shrinks the head and brain. The team closely examined the one near-complete skull unearthed at Flores and said that they found no evidence that it belonged to anyone other than a modern human. The skull was shaped asymmetrically, which the researchers argue was due to the effects of microcephaly. They also said that many of the features of the jaw and teeth, cited as evidence that it belonged to a separate species, such as the lack of a chin, could be seen amongst modern Flores pygmies. The controversy began in October 2004 when Nature, a leading British science journal, published what appeared to be a groundbreaking paper about a new species of human. Nature has confirmed that it subjected the manuscripts to the normal scientific review process in which it was scrutinised by outside experts who approved its contents. The new study suggests, however, that the initial evaluation of the remains was flawed. Robert Urquhart, Professor of Developmental Genetics and Evolutionary Morphology at Pennsylvania State University, who was part of the new team, criticises the original study for comparing the skeleton with those of Homo sapiens, primarily from Europe. A more accurate understanding of the Hobbit emerges when comparing the bones against humans from the same region. However, the original authors of the Nature paper, Peter Brown and Michael Morwood, aren't about to surrender their belief in a new species. In an email, Brown says that the new paper provides absolutely no evidence that the unique combination of features found in Homo floresiensis are found in any other modern human. Morwood points out that supporting papers have previously been published in elite journals like Science and Nature, while Brown argues that the asymmetry in the skull was due to the fact that the original skeleton was buried in 30 feet of sediment, which has deformed the fossil. The one definitive piece of evidence could be DNA tests of the original skeleton that might prove once and for all whether the Hobbit belonged to Homo sapiens or something else. But such samples will be very difficult to recover because DNA does not survive long in a tropical environment. So, on that controversial note, can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, a library, and guidance section, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And remember, more can always be found on Stone Pages. That's news.stonepages.com. Thank you for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again next week.